Nestle's Ever-Ready, the instant cocoa. Nestle's Quick for great chocolate milk. And Nestle's chocolate bars now present Space Patrol. High adventure in the wild, vast reaches of space. Missions of daring in the name of interplanetary justice. Travel into the future with Buzz Corey, Commander-in-Chief of the Space Patrol. In today's transcribed Space Patrol adventure, a criminal scientist has discovered a method of traveling back through time. He has taken Buzz and Happy back 14 centuries and has left them on a desolate seacoast on the planet Earth.
I just can't realize that we're back in the year 1591.
I'd take the best of it. After all, our ancestors did.
And we're stuck here in the past forever?
We'll have to have one slight chance of getting back.
Yeah? Well, what is it, sir? I don't know. It feels strange. Everything's going black. What's that sound?
You like him?
Commander! What's happening to us? Commander! Where are you?
We'll be back in just a moment with today's exciting Space Patrol story, The Time Pirates.
What's new?
Nestle's new.
Nestle's what?
Coconut.
Nestle's new coconut bar. That's for me. You have to eat them to believe there could be such a wonderful flavor combination. Now just imagine. Thick, rich, smooth milk chocolate, slammed to the edges with fresh toasted coconut. It's such fun to eat, too, because it gets crisper with every bite. Care to add anything to that hat? Hat. Could that happen with your tea glass?
Oh, well, golly, Commander, I'm sorry. You know what happens to me when you start talking about Nestle's new coconut bar? I just close my eyes and leave this planet. Yes, sir, I imagine I'm eating one right then and there. I can just taste that sensational, creamy, rich chocolate and all that super coconut. It's so crisp, so delicious, so... Oops, there I go. Huh? That's the way it is, Commander. And there's only one cure for it.
Well, what might that be?
Oh, I just got to eat a Nestle's coconut bar, of course.
Well, that seems like a good idea. For you, for me, for all space patrols, too. Again, why don't you find out for yourselves? Treat yourself to a brand new coconut bar. You'll really go for it.
Everybody goes for Nestle's, Commander. The wonderful milk chocolate, almond chocolate, and crunchy crunch bars. And naturally, the new coconut bar in the red and cream colored wrapper. Smoke and rockets, Nestle certainly makes the very best chocolate.
And now, today's space football adventure, The Time Pirates. Roaring toward the outer reaches of the solar system, a spaceship arcs over the Neptune orbit, its blazing rocket thrusting it onward at an ever-increasing pace. Far behind, drawing slowly nearer, is the Terra V. Commander Corey and Cadet Happy, their minds and bodies aching under the strain of several G's acceleration, relentlessly follow the blurred circle of flame from the rockets of the fleeing ship.
We're nearly up to star drive velocity. They cut over into hyperspace, we'll never get there.
Starno taking an awful chance because into hyperspace in that ship. I'd better warn him.
He's ignored all your other warnings, sir.
Is that a fair chance to escape? Maybe you'll listen to reason now. Commander Corey aboard Terra 5, calling Ryland Starno aboard Star Drive Cruiser JS-14. Corey to Starno. Starno, this is urgent. Acknowledge.
Someone calling the great Dr. Starno.
Starno, listen. Cut your rockets and surrender.
Now, Commander, why should I do that? My ship is nearly up to star drive velocity.
You're taking an awful chance, Starno. That ship's in bad shape, mechanically and electronically.
I knew that when I stole it from Jupiter City Spaceport.
Your hyperspace transition effector is probably out of alignment. When you cut into star drive, there's no telling what will happen to you.
One thing is sure. You won't be able to follow.
You may think the ship's worth stealing, but is it worth risking your life for?
You forget that I'm an expert on hyperspace theory and star drive mechanisms.
If you don't value your own life, think of that man with you.
Lomer has already made his choice. Is that right, Hugo?
Yeah, I'm thinking of Dr. Starno.
You heard Lomer. Goodbye, Commander. We're thinking of a star drive.
Starno, wait. Starno!
That's no use, sir. Look, the ship vanished. Starno's in hyperspace.
You got him. But sooner or later, you'll have to return to the solar system.
Provided you can.
You'll go back to Terra and alert all units from Mercury to Pluto to watch for him.
In the control compartment of the stolen star drive cruiser, Dr. Strano and his assistant, Hugo Glomer, have blacked out as the ship makes a sudden transition from regular three-dimensional space into hyperspace. At last, Strano regains his senses and shakes his companion.
Listen, we're coming out of Stardust.
Yeah. Now we've got to hike in three streaks of light through the viewport.
I'll set up the astrogation instrument. It should emerge about 30 billion GUs beyond Pluto.
There's the sun blazing off our starboard side. There's the Earth. I know it's the Earth. See? There's its moon.
It can't be the Earth. On the wrong side of the sun for this time of year.
Your astrogation instrument must be off.
Nonsense, you're not in hyperspace now. My type planet. 94 degrees off.
Still
safe. Shut up, Hugo. Let me see. All those planets are off. In the exact proportion of the periods of revolution around the sun. In hyperspace, there's no relation to ordinary space-time. Thus, time stood still while the solar system aged 6 months. Look at Earth. There's your proof.
I don't understand.
The Earth has gone halfway around its orbit. Half a year.
6 months gone out of our lives.
6 months. It's a multiple of 6 months. A year and 6 months. 5 years and 6 months. A century and 6 months.
No. No.
You're a new type of explorer, Hugo. When we land on Earth, we'll know exactly where we are. But we won't know when. There's no doubt about it now, Hugo. It's Earth, all right. The landmass is the Florida Peninsula.
The city. What happened to the city? And there are no farms, no spaceports, just forest and wilderness.
I know the answer after you land. I've examined the settings on the hyperspace computer. I think I know what's been wrong. The circuits that control the time coordinates are out of alignment.
Can you fix them?
Okay, I think so. Oh, this is the land. Near the mouth of the river.
I'm all confused. Tell me what's going on.
Wait here, Hugo. Just keep your head and trust me.
Foss and Happy have returned to Space Patrol headquarters on Terra after their futile pursuit of Dr. Strano.
Strano will probably try to contact some of the provinces by hyperspace communication, Happy. Our monitoring stations will notify us if any unidentified signals are picked up.
Maybe we can't get a fix on Strano from hyperspace signal. And it'll probably be in code, too.
Oh, he's a liar. You may be able to locate his confederates instead of Cap. I've already got a line on one like this, Oscar.
Who, sir?
Strano's had dealings with a third district. He operates a small private spaceport in the Andes Mountains in South America, in front of Earth.
It's a good hideout, all right.
This tie-in of this thing with Dr. Strano may be the best we need. First, you know that Strano has given a spaceport to repairs.
And it does need repairs.
Yes, immediately. In fact, Strano may have set a hyperspace vector for Earth when he cut in the Stardrive.
Well, maybe a distant spaceport right now repairing the Stardrive controls.
He isn't. A good chance he'll show up there very soon. Happy we're blasting off for Earth. Check up on Mr. Driscoll.
Meantime, Dr. Strano and Hugo Glomer have landed their ship near the mouth of a river. Carrying empty water containers, they climb a grassy knoll that slopes down toward the sandy beach a quarter of a mile away.
Look, Doc. I kept quiet all the time you were working on a hyperspace computer. Now, will you tell me what year we're in?
I don't know whether your mind can stand the shock, Hugo. But first, let me assure you I've repaired the computer and the control mechanism. We can return to our proper period of time whenever we choose.
All right. Let's have it.
Remember you asked what happened to the cities of North America? They've not been destroyed. They have not yet been built. We are now in the latter part of the 16th century.
We've gone back into the past?
More than 1,400 years back. From the 30th century back to about 1591.
Can we return? Are you sure you can get us back to the 30th century?
It's the rush. It's safe here. Mandacore hasn't been born yet, and won't be for 14 centuries. Between the river,
sea and the woods over there, you'll find plenty of fish and game to eat.
I
giggle.
Why didn't you see it when you came in for a landing?
I've been down 3 hours. Ship may have been hidden in the cove.
Those men, what did they look like?
They're dragging the rowboat out on the sand.
Sailing ship.
Naturally. Steam ships won't be invented for more than 200 years. The Spanish galleon, Julio.
Spanish galleon?
How do you believe this is 1591?
It could be a dream.
It's real, all right. These men are climbing out of the rowboat now. They're carrying something heavy, a box of some kind. That's what it
is. Yeah, the binoculars.
Hugo, the pirates. They're burying them. Treasures are stolen from other ships. They're burying it here.
Doc, you're tossing off these planes. Who are pretty bad.
I'm going to go back to the ship and see. Hey, we'll take it up.
What good is it going to do us?
Take it back to the 30th century. Pirate treasure will solve all our financial problems. We'll pay Gil Bristol to help us pick up the spaceship.
We're rich. We're rich!
Elsewhere, Buzz and Happy are now at the remote spaceport operated by Phil Bristol in the Andes Mountains. They've been questioning Bristol for some time with no results.
No, Commander, I haven't heard anything from old Doc Skarner for more than a year. Frankly, that suits me fine. I don't want to get involved in any of his deals. I see. And what about his pal, Hugo Glomer? Glomer? I've never heard of him. Now, look, Commander, I can't imagine why you came here. This spaceport's strictly on the up and up. I'd pick up a few emergency jobs. All legitimate. Mm-hmm. Well, Bristol, we'd like to look around a bit. What's in that hangar over there at the south end of the port? Oh, just an old hulk. Waiting for repairs. Jet and I will take a look at it. It's nothing to see, believe me. What's the matter, Bristol? Something out there you don't want? No. No, of course not.
It's you'll take care of them, Bristol.
Get your hands up. Both of you.
At the Skarno.
Yes, Commander. Bristol, take your weapons. I don't want them to get you in it. To shoot them.
Okay, Skarno. Why not shoot them? You can't let them go.
I have other plans. You'll dispose of them permanently. Yet, you won't harm them again. Those boy pieces I showed you? Dennis Payne?
What about?
We'll take Corey and the cadet back where we got the treasure and leave them there. Come on, gentlemen.
Where are you taking us, Stoner?
Oh, you like it. The sun is warm and the sea is beautiful. And someday a ship may come along and take you aboard. And then we'll be right back on your trail, Stoner.
No, you won't.
The ship, if any, will be a Spanish galleon.
Galleon? Oh, that'll be safe to be forever.
We're going back 1,400 years. Being marooned, Corey, like the ancient pirates marooned their enemies. Marooned in time.
We'll return to Space Patrol in just a moment. Say, do you recognize the sound?
Why, that's somebody drinking yesterday's quick, Captain Chico.
How can you be so sure, Tony?
Easy. A drink has to be awful good to drink it down to the very last bubble like that. And Nestle's Quick sure is. Why, it's so rich and chocolatey, it tastes just like those wonderful Nestle's chocolate bars.
Well, I follow you there.
Now, if a drink is hard to make, you usually drink it kind of slow, so it'll last longer. But that sound was somebody drinking fast. And on account of you can make yourself a glass of Nestle's Quick so fast, you start all over again. A skid from mine drinking it down in the hole. So it had to be Nestle's Quick.
Tony, you're absolutely right. Nestle's Quick is so quick. In fact, it makes it so. You just pour out your glass of cold milk. That's right, the milk comes cold. Then add 2 teaspoons of rich Nestle's Quick. And down it goes, mixing all the way. You just give it a little swish with your spoon, and it's ready to drink.
There's one more reason, Captain.
Oh, what's that?
Well, I've made that sound so many times myself. I know it by heart. Want me to show you?
Shoot.
Okay. I'll make my glass of fresh. Just add 2 spoonfuls, my glass of milk, and I'll once around with the spoon, in with the straws, and here goes.
Well, sure enough. That's the happy drinking you get only when you get delicious Nestle's Quick in the bright brown and yellow can. Try some right away. Quick makes milk taste like a million. You'll see. That's Nestle's Quick. And now, back to our space football adventure, the Time Pirates. At a spaceport high in the Andes Mountains on the planet Earth, the port manager, Phil Driscoll, tells Buzz and Happy he knows nothing about Dr. Starno and Hugo Glomer, who have stolen the Star Drive ship. Suddenly, Starno and Glomer emerge from hiding, disarm the space patrollers, and threaten them with a strange fate. Buzz and Happy are to be taken back 1,400 years in time and left on a deserted coast of America in the late 16th century.
Well, gentlemen, I see you've survived your first trip back through time. Yeah, now back in the year 1591.
It's funny. You don't look a day younger.
Yes, sir. Skeptical. My friend Glomer is bringing the ship in for landing on Earth. Then you will see for yourself.
How did you discover this trick of time travel?
It was an accident. I had to space the view without adjustment. Now I can control it. However, to avoid error, I'm returning to the exact moment of time for our previous trip.
You're going to leave us here?
Yes. I'll be rid of you. Yet I'll have committed no crime. There's no law against transporting people back in time. Is there, Commander?
Yes. Starno, how long after the pirates buried the treasure did you and Hugo dig it up?
We waited till they got back aboard their galleon and sailed out of sight. About 2 hours, I suppose. Why?
Do you know the exact time they buried it?
It was noon. Yes, the sun was almost directly overhead. What are you getting at?
The treasure existed under the sand from noon until you took it away 2 hours later. But what would happen if, on this bit, you dug it up 1 hour earlier?
I'd have two treasures.
Huh? But there's only one treasure.
Yes, it's aboard this ship.
But we're going back in time. We'll see the pirates bury their gold at noon, like we're running a storm.
But this time we'll get there sooner. Beat ourselves to it, so to speak. You'll have two identical treasures.
Second thought of won't work. No, Starno.
No, it's got to.
But common sense...
Common sense tells you that you couldn't possibly be here in the year 1591, because you're not even born. Still, you're here, aren't you?
Yes, but there's only one of each of us. There isn't a Commander Corey here in 1591, and another Commander Corey up ahead in the 30th century.
You're trying to talk me out of my great idea. You want to dig up the treasure after I blast off, so you can live like kings here in the 16th century. Well, I'll just kill that little scheme. You and I will get the treasure again, and you two are going to help.
Dr. Starno carefully repeats the exact landing procedure of his previous trip to the year 1591. Then, concealed by bushes on the knoll, the four men from the 30th century watch the pirates bring their rowboat ashore, bury their treasure chest, and return to their galleon lying at anchor in the quiet waters of the bay. Finally, Starno rises to his feet.
And remember, one false move and you'll die before your time. It's delivered, eh, Doc?
Shut up, Hugo. Hey,
Doc, what happens if those pirates see us from their ship?
The argument has failed around the... Anyway, what can they do? Wait, dig faster, you two.
What's the rush? We've got 14 centuries to dig this up.
It's there. We uncovered the chest.
Hurry, Corey. Throw away that sack.
It worked. Just like you said it would done. We got two sets of treasure.
I think I can lift it out now.
Don't know shovel. Pull off the chest.
It's sure heavy.
Hugo, I've got another idea. We can dig up the same treasure twice. Why not 3 times or 4 times? Come back again, 15 or 20 minutes early.
Well, you're going to be bumping into the pirates if you keep it out.
Keep it. Fill in that hole, level it out smooth, and don't forget the shovel.
Boy, yes. Put that treasure to the ship.
Hugo unlocked compartment 2. Put the chest in there with the other.
Well, hurry up. This thing isn't getting any lighter.
Okay, okay.
All right, Corey. Take the chest in the compartment and set it down by the other treasure.
Oh. Hey. What other treasure?
Doc, look. The other chest is gone.
What? That's impossible. Well, you and I have the keys to this compartment. Hugo, what are you trying to pull?
What do you mean, what am I trying to pull? Are you accusing me of stealing the gold?
You didn't do it. Who did? I've got a notion that... Don't move, Corey. They got you covered. You better listen. Corey has just been waiting for us to get into a private scrap so he and the cadet can jump us.
Now, where did you ever get an idea like that?
In fact, you probably planned this whole thing.
I could, they are locked up in another compartment, except when they were with us on the beach.
We figured out some trick about this time travel effect. What is it, Corey? Where's the first treasure we dug up?
Right here. Happy and I just set it down.
It's the second chip.
Look, one object can't be in two places in the same instance. The instant the ship returned to the year 1591, the treasure vanished from the compartment.
And this time we dug up the same chip as before.
That's it. Of course, if you took the chest ahead to the 30th century and left it there, then came back.
Oh, you got it. Is this, Colonel? Our spaceship is a time machine. If the gold isn't in the time machine, it couldn't return to 1591. It would stay in the future with Bristol.
The possibility, Colonel.
Good point. If you thought this up till we take you back to the 30th century, you're mistaken. Hurry, you and the cadet are staying here. Hugo, get them out of the ship. You're blasting off.
Left behind on the desolate coast in the year 1591, Buzz and Happy watched the ship blast off into space on its strange journey into the future. Accepting their situation bravely, Buzz suggests they explore their surroundings and search for food. Right now, several hours later, the space patrollers walk along the wet sand of the water's edge.
Since we haven't any weapons to hunt with, our best bet is to try to dig up some clams.
Yeah. Looks like there are a couple of Robinson Crusoes over there.
Let's try this spot. Let's start digging up. Why are you watching the sky?
Oh, I'm looking for Skarno's ship. He ought to be back by now.
Yeah, the time is here and blast it off again, Colonel.
Wouldn't we have seen him?
That when he returns, he'll have set his time selected to about noon at this day in 1591. To us, it's now 4 hours later. The arrival of the pirates, Skarno's return, and both of them are past history. Yes.
I just can't realize that we're back in 1591.
I have to get used to it. Let's make the best of it. After all, our ancestors did.
Then we're stuck here in the past forever?
Yes, our present. However, there's one possibility, one slight chance of getting back to the future.
Yeah? Hey, you feel strange. Everything's going correct. What's that sound?
Yeah.
Hey, Commander, what's happening to us? Commander, where are you?
As Skarno lands his spaceship in the now familiar hollow between the low rolling hills, the sun is high overhead. The Spanish galleon rolls gently at anchor in the bay. Its pirate crew unaware that pirates of the future are waiting to steal their plunder.
All right, Hugo, get the shovels out of the tool compartment.
Okay, Doc. What time did we hit the beach this time?
1 hour and 15 minutes past noon.
You don't suppose there's any chance of Corey and the cadets spoiling our show?
How could they? 4 hours into the future. They could no more interfere with us than we could change last week's letter.
I see. I have a feeling that this time it's going to work. The treasure we left with Bristol will stay in the 30th century. Now, we pick up the duplicate the pirates are about to build.
And we have two treasures.
Yes, yes, I know.
I'll get it.
Yes, Squadron, happy. I'll handle you, Hugo.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Hap, take it away.
Yes, sir.
For you. Where did you come from?
In the compartment where you had us locked up, the first.
How did you get in?
We were on the beach. Then all of a sudden, there was a whirring sound. Things got black, and then, boom, we were in your ship.
What made it happen? Cardinal said you were 4 hours into the future.
We were. But our existence in the year 1591 first began when your ship emerged from hyperspace, and you both brought us here. In that instant of time, you were in the ship. So when you returned to that instant, we were coming through.
Yeah, only this time the compartment door wasn't locked.
Should have shut you before we blasted.
That wouldn't have helped you. You were part of the space-time equation for this instant of the year 1591.
Sure. As far as the 30th century is concerned, those pirates have been dead for hundreds of years. And yet, when you clean in on this day in 1591, there they are, real as life.
On your feet, Starno. You're returning to the 30th century to get your pal Bristol.
Under Commander Corey's watchful eye, Starno sets the hyperspace vector for a return to the 30th century. Landing at the spaceport in the Andes, Bart leaves Happy in the ship to guard the two prisoners while he goes after Bristol.
Now, just relax, boys. You'll have company in a few minutes.
It's all your fault, Carno. You were so smart.
Look, Hugo, you're still in good shape. So you'll go to a criminal rehabilitation center for a while. When we come out, we'll still have the treasure we left with Bristol.
Yeah? You think Corey let us have it?
You have to. Pirates buried it, and we dug it up. Two owners have been dead for centuries. Now it's by right of discovery.
What's the matter? Did you find Bristol?
No, it happened down. And so was his ship.
The treasure. What about the treasure?
I checked the hiding place you told me about. It's gone.
Poor Bristol. He's double-crossed us.
Now, don't worry about him. I'll find him if it is.
East? Do you know where he's gone?
No, but I know how to find out.
How, sir?
I'll tell you later, Hap. And to get these two characters back to Terra.
Bristol, he's nothing but
A pirate?
Yes. A low-down pirate.
An action preview of next week's exciting Space Patrol adventure in just a moment.
Say, Space Patrollers, now's the time for a quick me-up. Know what that is? It's a pick-me-up with Nestle's Quick. Yes, sir, when a fellow's throat wants something cool and smooth, quick. Have some Quick. Quick is Nestle's wonderful chocolate powder that makes milk taste like a million. In fact, it turns out chocolate milk with the same sensational flavor as your favorite Nestle's chocolate bar. That's real terrific chocolate. Rich, smooth, and plenty delicious. And Nestle's Quick is such a cinch because it practically makes itself. After you pour yourself a glass of milk, just add 2 spoonfuls of Quick. It starts to mix itself, and you just pop it along with a little stir. Then taste it. See, if you don't agree with all us space patrollers, there's nothing like a delicious Quick meal. Ask Mom to get you some Nestle's Quick in the brown and yellow pans.
And now, a preview of next week's exciting space football adventure. Bart and Happy have entered a laboratory on the planet Mars to capture a criminal. With ray guns drawn, they advance toward their foe, who suddenly darts behind a high-frequency generator.
He's trying to get out the door, Commander.
After him, Happy, before he gets away.
Yes, sir. I can't move.
We're in our high-voltage field.
Throw down your gun. I can't.
Be with us again next week for the thrilling Space Patrol story, Voyage to the Future. Space Patrol, created by Mike Moser, starring Ed Kemmerer as Commander Corey and Lynn Osborne as Jeanette Happy, was written by Lou Houston, produced and directed by Larry Robertson, executive producer Helen Moser. Other players were Ken Mayer, Norman Jolly, Baylor Kovacs, and Tony Sides. Dick Tufeld speaking. This week's Space Patrol was brought to you by Nestle's Ever-Ready, the instant photo. Nestle's Quick for great chocolate milk. And famous Nestle's chocolate bars. This program is broadcast for Armed Forces Overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Space Patrol came to you transcribed from Hollywood. This is ABC Radio Network.